So I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the topic of encouragement. I really want us to look at it this way. The way we live points people to Christ or away from Christ. The way you and I live our lives, there's really no middle ground here. We're not making a neutral impact on people. We are making an impact one way or the other. We're pointing them to Christ or we're pointing them away from Christ. And one of the ways that we point them to Christ is through how we live our lives and how we encourage other people. The Bible talks about encouragement quite a bit. I want to give you a simple definition of encouragement. Encouragement is to add courage to someone else. To discourage is to take courage away from them. All right? So you know what this feels like. You were ready, psyched up to go do something, and somebody gave you an encouraging word, and then you're really ready to go. You just felt courage well up inside of you, like, they believe in me. I know I got this. God's got this. And so your courage, your willingness to go out and take a risk is stronger and more impactful. But when somebody says to you, when you're trying to, you know, work your way into doing something that is risky and somebody says something discouraging to you, it makes you, now we don't do this physically, but it makes you sort of take a step back and go, I don't know. Because it takes the courage out of us, a discouraging word. You know, it takes far more encouraging words than it does discouraging words to impact our life. You can remember when somebody said that discouraging thing to you when you were a kid. When somebody said that thing that just took the air out of you, that moment that just changed things. And maybe you were ready to go forward and you just needed somebody to put some courage in you, but instead they took courage out of you. Now watch this. People who encourage are courageous people. People who discourage others are not courageous people. And so you can't give what you don't have. You got to be courageous to encourage somebody because you got to overcome that feeling of, boy, I don't know. Do they care what I think? Do I really want to take their time? Is it really going to make a difference? And so the only people who are really encouraging others are the people who are already filled with some courage. And so when we are going about our week, this week, I want us to think about this. I want us to be, and I know we will be, people of encouragement. People that encourage others. And I'm not talking about, hey, buddy, I believe you could fly to the moon. No. Don't be lying to people, all right? I had a guy one time, he said to me, I found my dream. I found my dream. He's out of high school. He weighs about 120 pounds soaking wet. And he said, I'm gonna work hard and I'm gonna play for the Texas Longhorns. And I was like, yeah. All right. It took me a minute. I was like, I don't know what to say to him. And so I started encouraging him other areas of his life. You know, I was like, you weren't a ball player in 10th grade, and you're certainly not going to be a ball player now. All right, so I'm not going to encourage that crazy dream, but I am going to encourage that person to take a step and move forward, right? And that's what God wants us to do with other people. And there's three ways we encourage people: words, actions, and attitudes. Your words and my words, they all matter, all right? We can encourage people with our words, or we can discourage people with our words. Proverbs 18:21 says this, the tongue can bring death or life. The tongue can bring death or life. You ever meet somebody that you know, they're at work or wherever in your life, and you see them coming, you're like, oh no, here it goes. You know, negative Nelly's on her way, here she comes. Just don't listen. But we do listen. We feel it down deep in our hearts because the tongue, the word, our words bring death or they bring life to people around us. I love this, kind of appropriate. I love the story about a pastor who was going into retirement, and so he's going to be leaving the church. And I'm not retiring, by the way. But anyway, so they were doing a farewell thing, and he was trying to encourage people, you know, and he was saying things. This elderly lady came to him. And she had been a member of the church for a long time. As a matter of fact, she was a member before he was ever at the church. And he said to her, hey, don't be sad. The next pastor you get is going to be better than me. And she said, that's what they said the last time, and it just keeps getting worse. So don't be encouraging me that way, all right? That's nothing kind of encouragement I need. So we get it. Our words matter. Now, there was probably 100 encouraging words that this guy heard, but I'll tell you the one he remembers and the one he tells about later. All right? We get this. We allow the discouraging words to slow us down. Now think about this. Think of the effect the words of a parent have on a child. Think about the effects of words. Some of you grew up in encouraging homes, and you were always encouraged to go and do great things. And so when it came time to take risks in your life, you felt like you had a support system and people were going to be behind you. Some of you didn't grow up in encouraging homes, and you knew that any dream was going to be met with a discouraging word. It has an effect on us. Think about this. The effects that a husband's words have on a wife, or a wife's words have on a husband. There's an effect on what we say. We got to be careful how we fight at home. I remember getting married and thinking, you know, we're going to be the first couple, never have a fight. And we were for about 20 minutes. And then we just started acting like every other married couple, that we disagreed about stuff, right? But here's what I learned real quick. We can argue and we can fight about the things we need to fight about, because two passionate people are going to have opinions, right? But what I say is going to have a lasting effect on the person I love the most in the world. So I've got to make sure, we all have to make sure, that our words are encouraging. What about this one? The impact that a boss's words have on an employee. Whew. Whichever category you find yourself in right now, maybe you're the employer or maybe you're the employee, but those words matter. What about words said in love versus words said in anger? Words have helped to shape our lives. Words have helped to shape our lives. And our words are helping to shape the lives of other people. We get more of what we celebrate. There's a weird thing that where people will say things like, I just tell the truth. It just is trying, they're trying to have a license to say negative things to people, is what that means. I just tell it like it is. Right? And the truth is, though, that we get what we celebrate. That's why we celebrate baptism so much around here. That's why we celebrate serving so much around here. Because whatever you celebrate, you get more of it. And so I love the story of the lady that went out on her front porch one morning, and there's a beautiful little dog sitting there, and the dog's got her newspaper from the driveway sitting in his mouth, and he's just sitting there wagging his tail and smiling. And she took the paper, and she gave him some treats, and she patted his head, and she just talked to him, and he ran off. And the next morning, she opened the front door to get her newspaper, and there he was. He had 8 newspapers sitting around him. Yeah. You get what you celebrate. So if we want somebody to rise to an occasion, discouraging words are probably not going to get them there. Encouraging words is what gets them there. And so when we realize this, that sometimes we think that criticizing or harsh words will motivate somebody. We might need to tell the truth, but we should also think about how to say it in an encouraging way. It's so important. It's so important. Everybody needs recognition in our lives. Everybody. You know, I hear people say things like, I don't need anybody's approval. You know what they're really saying? I need everybody's approval, but I'm going to act like I don't. Because we all need encouragement along the way. Like the little boy who said to his dad, Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw the darts and you say, good job. That's what we want. We want somebody in our lives to encourage us along the way. We want somebody to be behind us going, you got it. And when we fall, they pick us up and say, let's try again. That's the person we want in our lives. So words are one way we encourage other people. Here's another way we encourage it, and this is going to really show up this week. We encourage people by our actions. What we do and how we do these things matters in the lives of other people. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. See, love is more about action than it is emotion. Let me read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. I'm going to read you a few verses out of this. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love is more about action than it is emotion. I can choose to be patient, or I can choose to not be patient. That's an action. I can choose to show kindness, or I can choose not to show kindness. I can choose to brag on somebody, or I can choose to not do that. I can choose to hold a grudge, or I can choose to let it go. I can choose to be self-centered, or I can choose to be Christ-centered. It's all about action. Love is not a feeling. Love is action more than it is emotion. Sometimes you have to override your emotions so that your actions show your love, because you're not going to feel it every day. Some days you're just not going to feel like going to work, but somehow we get up every day and we go to work, don't we? Amen. I mean, Monday morning is coming, and you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to go, I just don't feel like it. And there's not going to be one thought of in your mind saying, you know what, I just might stay home today. I might just stay home, and I'm not even calling the boss, doggone it, because I'm not feeling it. And then 2 weeks from now on payday, your boss is going to be like, I don't feel like paying you. See, our if we act only on our feelings, it has results in our life. It has ramifications in our life. It's up to us to show the right action over that feeling. Now, here's the third way we do it. We do it by words. We do it by actions. We do it by attitudes. Our attitudes. What's your outlook on life? Your outlook, this is not the power of positive thinking message. This is scripture, okay? Your outlook, my outlook on life will determine my attitude. How do I see life? How do I perceive what God is doing in my life? If I perceive it the right way, that God is in charge and God is working and God is moving and God is taking me somewhere and God is changing things in my life and God is blessing things in my life, if that is my outlook, my attitude will be different. But if I have a negative outlook and I think God's forgotten me and he left me and he's not watching over the details of my life, my attitude changes and it affects every area of my life and it starts to affect every area of everybody else's life that I'm connected to. Attitude. Proverbs 17 says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. My family has a running joke that Dad will not watch sad movies, and they're right, and Dad loves comedians. And you know why? Because I'm trying to be like Jesus, all right? A cheerful heart is good medicine. If I sit and wallow in the negative things that are going on in my life, then I don't move forward. But a cheerful heart, sometimes it's just important to laugh. I read a study a while back that said doctors will sometimes prescribe comedy movies to their patients. And I was like, that's the sickness I want. I just want to watch funny movies all day long, all right, and get well. See, it's up to us in how we do this. A cheerful heart, it's about attitude. Look what Philippians 2 says. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Here's what we need to get from this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Those were actions. You chose not to grumble and argue. All right? So that, he's saying, if you do this, then the result is that you may become blameless and pure. The goal, he didn't say you're going to start out blameless and pure. He said, but when you are acting with self-control and you're not allowing the grumbling and complaining to lead the way, then God can touch your heart and God can clean up your heart. Watch this. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. It's up to us. It's up to us to say, Lord, I want to do this the way you want me to do it. I want to honor you the way you want me to honor you. I love the story of the two shoe salesmen that went to an island full of people. It was a brand new market for this shoe company. And one of them came back and said, nobody there wears shoes. Nobody wears shoes. This is a terrible market for us. The other one came back and said, I gave the tribe leader a pair of shoes, and now everybody on the island wants a pair of shoes. This is a market where nobody wears shoes. I'm going to sell a million shoes. It's up to us to decide how we're going to go about that, how we're going to choose the next day, the next phase of our life. And this week, we get to be an encouragement to people. We get to be an encouragement with words. We get to be an encouragement with our actions. We get to be an encouragement with our attitudes. And it starts at home. It starts in church. And then we take it out from there. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. God's placed you right where you are on purpose. You're right here this morning on purpose. You didn't just wake up today and go, well, maybe I think I'll just go down to that church and we'll give it a shot. No. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God will get you where you want to go. His goal for us is to walk with him. God has a plan for you. The Old Testament says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. He's talking to his people. He has a plan. He has a future. He has something for you to do, somewhere for you to go, something for you to be, and he wants to use you to encourage somebody else in your life. So this week, we're going to give away granola bars and fruit snacks and water bottles and you name it, it's going to happen this week. We're going to give out car washes and backpacks and we're going to give out school uniforms and we're just going to serve. And every time we do one of those, we hope to encourage someone toward Jesus. We want to influence them for Christ. We want to make sure that we are being Jesus. Every year on the last Sunday of Servolution, which will be next Sunday, we have a video and we get to see all the wonderful things that happen. And it's a testimony of what you do and how you serve every single day of this week. And I just want to thank you in advance for what's coming. I want to encourage you that God's going to make an impact on somebody this week because of you. Because you chose to say, I'm going to give up these hours. Because I chose to buy these things. Because I chose to give. God's going to bless that. God's going to bless you. But he's also going to bless somebody else because of your encouragement. Amen? I want you to stand with me. In just a minute, Jody's going to come and give us all the details we need for this week. But I want us to take a moment really as a dedication moment to say, Lord, I want to do this the way you want me to do it. I am truly called to serve. I'm called to serve. You are called to serve. And we get to share this message of Jesus with somebody else. And you may never mention the name of Jesus this week, but you'll be the hands and feet of Jesus serving people. And you'll share the love of Christ. And they may not recognize what's going on in their heart to begin with, but you may be one cog in the machine that's going to get them to Christ. That they're going to look back years later and go, you remember when that guy, remember when that lady? They were so kind. They did that thing for us. Something was stirring in me even back then. Because we're not responsible for the results. We're responsible for being faithful. And that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to encourage somebody and be faithful to his calling. If you would, I want you just to lift your hands as a surrender to the Lord. God, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your spirit. And Lord, we're just asking you today to use us for your glory and your honor. We're asking you, Lord, to just have your way and accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish in us. Lord, help us to be an encouragement with our words this week. Help us to be an encouragement in our actions. Help us to be an encouragement to others through our attitudes, Lord. This week, we pray that we would make an impact on somebody, on a lot of somebodies, for the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. We just ask you, Lord, to have your way with us this week. Use us, God. all the leaders are involved and serving so deeply. Lord, we pray that you would bless them and you would give them wisdom and you would give them courage and you would just, Lord, use them in ways they never dreamed possible to keep us all going in the right direction. And we trust you for that. And Lord, we're asking that somebody would know you and be on their way to heaven because of all the work that's going on. And we pray, God, that your name would be lifted up and your name would be glorified, that others would recognize that this is about Jesus and this is about what you are doing. And we give you praise and we honor you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen.